Now Naomi had a relative of her husband's, a worthy man of the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she set out and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, "She is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers.' So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter, do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" But Boaz answered her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of the bread and dip your morsel in the wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And also pull out some from the bundles for her, and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave her what food she had left over after being satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." She told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." And Ruth the Moabite said, "Besides, he said to me, 'You shall keep close by my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, lest in another field you be assaulted." So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Let us pray for his blessing. Lord, this morning as we turn to consider your work in the life of Ruth and Naomi, your provision for them, I pray that you would give us hearts that are like Ruth, humble and attentive, ready to receive the favor you offer. Please be at work in us by your Spirit, for if you do not, we will not benefit from these things. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as I think some of you have gathered, one of our favorite toys in my household are Legos. We like to build with Legos. We probably have far too many Legos stored up in containers throughout the house, scattered on the floor, stepped on them in the middle of the night. We like to play with Legos. But I remember growing up, me and my family, my brothers, we enjoyed playing with Legos too. But we always had this problem. You see, if you have some of those real, you've probably run into this if you've played with them. They have these plates, and they have these little thin pieces, and you stick them on a plate, and the pieces get stuck together in such a way they just won't come apart. And I remember growing up being so frustrated that I couldn't get the pieces separated because I needed those pieces to build what I wanted to build. Well, lo and behold, when I get to be a parent and I start buying my kids Legos, they have invented this wonderful tool. It's bright and orange, and it's this lever, and one end has a little wedge you can wedge between Legos, and the other hand is designed to connect to the tops of Legos and pull them apart. And it is the most beautiful, wonderful, simple tool. See, before that tool, me and my brothers, we would try to pry our fingernails between the Legos, or we would use our teeth and ding up the edges. We had lots of Legos with teeth marks in them from trying to split them apart. It was complicated. It was difficult. But now I grow up, and the designers of this company have given us a tool that is simple, that performs its function very beautifully. It's very easy to use. It's part of what makes it wonderful. Well, as we turn to Ruth and look at how she seeks God's favor this morning. You know, sometimes I think the danger we can run into when we talk about salvation, when we talk about us receiving God's favor, when we talk about His provision for us, sometimes we can also take something that God has made very simple and we can make it very complex. In fact, needlessly or complex in a way that hinders us from appreciating our own salvation or in sharing with others what is required of us to be saved. We can become very involved in asking, well, what exactly does my faith have to be to count? Or what exactly do I have to believe in order to be saved? And I don't want to take away from the importance of some of these topics. But I think when we look at Ruth and her actions and her seeking God's favor this morning, we find a very simple picture of what we must do to seek God's favor and thus receive the benefits of salvation. Ruth shows us what saving faith looks like. And what she shows us is that when we humble ourselves to seek Christ's favor, we will receive more than we could ever hope. And so we see here that we will look at this and see Ruth humbling herself. We will see the object that she humbles herself for, seeking God or God's favor. And then we will see the outcome. We will see that she receives more than she could have ever hoped. And what we are doing, the way I'm approaching this text over the next few weeks, is we're going to examine Ruth 2 right today, really from Ruth's perspective and what we see from the character of Ruth. Next week, we're going to look at Naomi's perspective. And then finally, the third week, we will look at Boaz and what we learn about him and how he instructs us. But this morning, we're going to turn attention to Ruth and see how her humbling herself shows us how we ought to approach God to seek his favor. And really, that's the first thing we need to consider when we look at Ruth. Ruth humbles herself. She embraces a low condition. First, we see this as we see her conversation with Naomi. There in verse 2, "And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor.'" The first thing to consider is that Ruth here doesn't turn to Naomi and say, "What do we do?" Or, "Hey, Naomi, what are you going to do to find us food?" We see Ruth fulfilling the exact pledge she gave to her mother-in-law in chapter 1. "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge." She made commitments there to be with her mother-in-law and indeed to care for her mother-in-law. And we see here that she takes the initiative. She says, "I will find a way to provide for us. I will not wait upon you." And notice how she decides to do that. "I will go out and glean among the ears of grain." You know, gleaning. What is gleaning? Gleaning, we learn of in Leviticus 19. In Leviticus 19, the Lord commands his people, starting in verse 9, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyards bare, nor shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. And so what Ruth does when she says, I will go out and glean, is she says, I will willingly identify myself with my station. What am I? Am I a wealthy landowner? Am I a woman who has a husband who's caring for me? Am I established? No. I am impoverished. I am both poor and stranger. I have nothing to offer this community. I am here with my hands open, taking what is given for those who cannot provide for themselves. And what is it that she will do? She will go out and glean. So gleaning is, as we read, that the people of Israel were not to gather up all that was in their fields, but they were to leave the very edges unharvested in the corners. And we read elsewhere, if they forget and leave a sheaf in the field, or if they drop grain on the ground, they are to leave it there for the poor to gather. But you'll notice something. What Ruth is going out to do is very hard and inefficient work. It is much easier to go through the field and harvest the crop when it's all gathered together and get great big bundles all at once than to go and pick through what is left. It is much harder and difficult work. And yet we find Ruth saying, I will embrace this humble and low and difficult and inefficient work because it is what I have to do to feed. And you notice there that she's also, it's again noted, she is Ruth the Moabitess. She will go out there and know. Who is this person who's coming to this community? Bethlehem's not a large community. She will go out there and everyone will know. One, she's impoverished. Two, she's a widow. And three, she's a stranger. She's a Moabitess. She is as low on the pecking order as you can get. And yet, rather than go to her mother-in-law and say, Naomi, why don't you go out and ask all your friends for food? Why don't you go out and find some way to improve our condition? Rather, she embraces that she is humbled, she is low, and she will go out and seek favor, seek the food she needs. But then finally, the last thing we see with relation to Naomi is that she doesn't just go out and do it. Nor does she come and say, let us both go. But she goes to her mother-in-law and she says, may I go? It's really, when she says, let me go, it's really, you know, please let me go and glean. Even as she embraces probably the only way they're going to find food to live on for the day. She doesn't say, Naomi, here's what we must do. She says, I will submit myself to your rule, to your family. Mother, may I go and glean for our household. She continues to humble and lower herself to embrace the position God has put her in. But then we continue, and throughout the story, we see Ruth lowering herself. We continue to read in verse 3. So she set out and went out and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the clan of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. And he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? And the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered, she is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves after the reapers. So she came and she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. You know, there's a couple things you see here. You know, first, you know, we kind of anticipate, as the story opens up, we mentioned there's this man, Boaz, who is a worthy man. He's of the clan of Elimelech. We would almost expect from the way the story's setting us up that when Ruth talks to Naomi, there'd be some kind of plan. Oh yeah, here's a short list of people you should go glean in their field. Here's people you should introduce yourself, hoping you'll gain favor. Ruth just goes out, and the text really gives the impression, she goes out and she starts gleaning either in the first field she comes to or the first field where she isn't driven off. But second, notice, as we read in Leviticus, the gleanings of the field were not something that had to be asked for. The gleanings of the field were something that were set aside for the poor. They were something that under the law, as it were, you could assume were given to you as a poor person. They were yours by God's provision. And yet, does Ruth come up to the field and just start gleaning? Or does she come and demand that she have her place among the gleaners? No, but she approaches the foreman, the person in charge of the field for Boaz, overseeing what's going on. And she says, let me glean. May I please glean? May I please gather? As she could say, as is my right, but she says, let me glean. Let me gather. And again, there we see her embracing a humble condition. She sees herself even, she does not think too highly of herself, but thinks of herself as low and comes and asks even for the things that are guaranteed to her. And then we also know, what does the foreman note? She came, she has continued from early morning until now, except for a short rest. What does the foreman observe about Ruth? She works hard. She doesn't work lackadaisically. She does not take long breaks. It's something that seems to stand out to her. She has been here in this field all morning, and she's taken one break. And she would have started right at sunup as soon as it was bright enough to see and begin your work. And we get the implication this has been many hours now that she has striven at this work. She's not ashamed to do this humble and lowly work, but she has lowered her own heart to embrace what is there for her. But she also lowers herself in relation to Boaz. Now let's just read that account again, starting in verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Now listen, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field or leave this one, but keep close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field that they are reaping and go after them. Have I not charged the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessel and drink what the young men have drawn." Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and she said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" And so Boaz comes, and he's the owner of this field, and he gets this account from the foreman. And his response is to immediately speak to Ruth and to give her great protection, great benefit. He says, you know, one, don't go anywhere else. I want you to stay here and glean. You have a right to glean here in my field. By implication, as we read later on, throughout the harvest, I want you here gathering from my gleanings. And look, I've charged that my young men, they will leave you alone. You will not receive any trouble or harassment in my field. By the way, if you are thirsty, you don't have to go back to Bethlehem to the common well. We're bringing water out here. It's there for you to drink. And what is her response? She falls on her face. She humbles herself. And then she doesn't just thank Boaz, but she draws attention to the fact that she does not deserve what Boaz is giving her. "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" She brings attention to the most telling part of her humility, the fact that she isn't even an Israelite. She's a Moabitess. She was born away from, but not a part of the people of Israel. She has come and sought to join herself, but she knows, "I am not of them." And yet she highlights that. And then Boaz continues. He explains, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me. How you left your father and mother, your native land, and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then Ruth said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, though I am not one of your servants." And once again, in the thanksgiving she gives, she recognizes what Boaz has done for you. And key there is, "you have spoken kindly to your servant." She recognizes that Boaz is giving her recognition and blessing and care that rightfully belongs not to a stranger, but to someone who is part of Boaz's household. And she says, really, "you have spoken kindly to your maidservant," to someone who is a part of your household whom you have taken responsibility. And then immediately turns and says, "but that's not who I am. I don't deserve the treatment you are giving me, and yet I have found favor in your eyes." And then finally, we see it in her bearing as in the closing verses of her time reaping. Starting in verse 14, "At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel in the wine.' So she sat beside the reapers and he passed to her roasted grain. She ate until she was satisfied and she had some left over. When she rose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her." And so there we see two things about how she eats. One, she is invited to come in and be part of the harvesting crew, to come and sit, they don't sit at a table, but sit at the table, as it were, and enjoy the fellowship and communion at the mealtime. And yet, the way it's phrased, she sat beside the reapers, the implication is she has not come and sort of joined the circle, but she has removed herself a little place away. She's sitting apart, recognizing, again, I am a foreigner. I am not part of this household. I will not deign to thrust myself in, but I will sit apart. And then finally, when she rose to glean, the implication there and the way Boaz speaks makes it fairly clear that she is eating briefly and then getting right back to work. She's not sitting trying to be part of that fellowship, part of that community. She has a mission. She has found favor and she wants to seize upon it. And she is willing to embrace the hard work. What we see from the beginning of this account to the end of this account is that Ruth brings herself low. Ruth does not think of herself and say, I am of the mighty people of Moab, and you must respect me, lest my people come and wage war on you. She does not come and say, I am poor and impoverished and a foreigner, and therefore there are certain things you owe me. Her attitude throughout this text is, I am coming to seek favor. I am coming to seek grace. The terms are interchangeable. To seek what is given freely to me. It really reflects on when James calls each of us, when James writes in his book, in the book of James, and says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. This is the attitude Ruth embraces. She humbles herself at every occasion before God's people. She brings herself low and lower and lowest. Even when Boaz comes to her and it really exalts her, he says, look, you are this young woman who is behaving in an exemplary way. You have come and left your people and accompanied Naomi and bound yourself to us and sought the Lord, and may the Lord repay you for what you have done. And even then, she lowers herself and says, you know, I'm not even one of your servants. She thinks of herself as low. And this is key. The reason Ruth is so effectively able to seek favor both from God and from God's people is Ruth is not proud. Ruth is a humble young woman. And as we seek to find God's favor, we need to look at Ruth and embrace the example she gives us. That we don't go out and make demands, but we recognize that we come before God as fallen human beings. We come in Adam. We come as foreigners. We might as well be Moabites when we seek God's favor. We don't have anything to offer to him to make him indebted to us. We are the sinners. We are the rebellious ones. We are the evil ones. We don't deserve his favor. And it doesn't matter if we are wealthy or if we are poor, if we are very learned or if we barely know anything, if we are born into the church or whether we are coming from without. The truth is, in our humanity and particularly in our sinfulness, we don't deserve a thing from God. We may only come and ask him to show favor. And yet that is exactly what motivates and enables Ruth to seek God's favor. And us, as we recognize who we actually are, that's why we've been considering in Romans, you know, for weeks on end, Paul draws us through considering our sinfulness. Because until we recognize our humble condition, our lowness, we will not be ready to seek God's favor and to receive what he offers. And so if we want to have God's favor, we have to start by embracing what we are. We are foreigners. We are sinners. We are ones who don't deserve anything. But second, I want you to see that Ruth is then seeking, actively seeking favor, both from the Lord and from the Lord's people. You know, first we see that she gets up and she says to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." That's sort of like the summary sentence for all that happens in this chapter. What is Ruth's mission? Ruth's mission is to go out and to find favor in the eyes of someone. You know, what she does is she says, "This is who I am. I'm a widow. I'm a foreigner. I'm impoverished. I have no land. I have no harvest. And so I must find favor in someone's eyes." And how does she do it? She recognizes that God has set apart means for caring for people exactly like her. She looks at her condition and says, "This is who I am. And look, here's how God has taken action to provide for me." And this is sort of a pattern in Ruth's life. Every time Ruth sees some opening where she might come and gain or ask for God's favor, she seizes upon it. And we saw in Ruth chapter 1 that Naomi gives her this blessing. "May the Lord deal kindly with you as you've dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." And we looked upon back then when we were looking at Ruth 1, that Naomi says, "May you find God's covenant love," that's kindly, "and may you find rest," the same kind of rest that people of Israel enjoy in the land of Israel. May you find these things. And it's almost as if Ruth hears these words of blessing and says, "Naomi's just given me a slight opening to go find that and seek that from the Lord. And therefore, I will commit to going and being an Israelite and being with Naomi that I might seek these things." This is what Boaz notices in her when he commends her. "All that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and mother and your native land and came to a people that you did not know before. The Lord repay you for what you've done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Ruth has made a pattern of seeing there exists a means or a mechanism or a way that she can seek and receive God's favor. When she sees it, she says, "I want it and I will do what it takes to get it." Why? Because Ruth does not think of herself more highly than she ought. Ruth does not see these things as things that are given to her as a right, but things she must come and ask for. She sees herself not as someone who has no need of God's provision, but as someone who is in desperate need of God's daily provision. She has lowered herself, and so she can see the ways that God has set up to provide for her, and that she is willing to diligently seek after them. And this, and her behavior, I think, is instructive for us. It's instructive for us first as we think of our physical needs. You know, it is telling that God does not set up a means for people like Ruth to be provided for through begging, but he says, "Here, I will give you a means of laboring for your provision." And here's what it is. She must work and strive for it, and yet he has provided a means. And so often when God has set up ways for us to meet our own physical needs, whether they're the money we need, the food we need, the housing we need, the fellowship we need, all these things, routinely he has set up ways for us to gain it. And I think so often we can fall into the trap of thinking, "Well, God owes it to me, so I don't have to seek his favor." And we do that in two ways. First, we can do it by being lazy. "Well, I don't have to take initiative. I don't have to do anything for God to provide for my needs." That's one way Ruth could have gone. "I've cast myself in God's favor. Let's see what happens." But she doesn't do that. She says, "No, I've cast myself on God's care, and here's the means he provided. I will seize upon it." Of course, the second way we can do it is we can say, "Well, God has, you know, made me strong and powerful, given me a good job. I don't need to depend upon him. I'm strong enough. I'm good enough. And again, I don't cast myself seeking his means, but I rely on my own strength." We must pair both an explicit reliance upon God's favor and an explicit willingness to work hard to seek his favor. That is the pattern Ruth gives us. Not because our working deserves it, but because that is the means as he deals with us in this world that he uses to provide for us. But Ruth doesn't do this just with her physical needs, but indeed she's been doing it with her spiritual needs as well. You know, again, we think of, sometimes we struggle to bring together these ideas that on the one hand, God has poured out his grace and given us a salvation and a life that we absolutely do not deserve. To pair that with the fact that then he turns around and calls us to work hard in his kingdom and to serve him and to submit ourselves to his law. As our own confession will speak of, the fact that we are to make a diligent use of the means God has given to communicate to us the benefits of salvation. You see, on the one hand, we acknowledge, we say, we are low, we are humble. We do not deserve God's favor in the least. And yet, when Ruth perceives there is an avenue for me to seek God's favor, she is quick to seize upon it. And she does that first when it comes to her life becoming an Israelite, becoming part of God's people. And we ought to learn the lesson of Ruth. God is pleased to provide for humble people. He is pleased to provide for those who are needy, who need his favor. And he has established means of doing that. It is true, we must rest alone in Christ Jesus. But the means he's given us to exercise our faith, to be built up and strengthened by him, is worship as we gather together to meet with him, in his word as he speaks to us, in prayer as we lift up our needs to him. These things aren't given because they make us deserving, but they are means that God has established for us to seek and receive and enjoy his favor all the more. And so even as Ruth seeks and seizes upon them, so we also should seek and seize upon these things, because the very fact that God has provided them for us speaks to his willingness to give you favor, give you the grace you need. But then finally, I want to rest briefly on the fact that Ruth receives more than she could ever have hoped for. You know, that morning she says, or the night before that morning, she goes to Naomi and says, I'm going to go out and glean. Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor. What is the favor she seeks? Let me just gather enough grain to feed myself and my mother-in-law for the next day or two. That's really all she could hope to gain. Yet what happens? She goes, and first she's allowed to glean, yes. But then shortly thereafter, the owner of the field comes and doesn't just say, oh, yes, you may glean, but I want you to glean right here in my field all harvest long. And I'm going to make sure that you're protected all harvest long. I'm going to provide for all your needs while you're out here harvesting, whether it's food or drink. By the way, after we have lunch, I want to make sure you have enough to take with you. And then when she finishes, well, not only that, but then he gives her public commendation. You're standing out in a field. It's not like the reapers are spread to the ends of the earth. When Boaz commends Ruth, his workers hear what he is saying. She receives public commendation and approval for her behavior. And then finally, we read that after she gleaned the field in verse 17, she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And it's kind of hard to draw how much exactly that was. But it's pretty clear that if we do the numbers, it was probably somewhere like 2 weeks of provision for her and her mother-in-law in one day. What is clear is it was an astounding amount of grain. Naomi is shocked. How in the world did you come back with this much food? You know, if she's able to do this all harvest long, they will be set for the year to come. They will have no concern about what they will eat. And the reason I want you to see this is that Ruth goes out to seek a little favor, to seek exactly what God had provided for her. And God's response is not to be stingy. God, as he works through his servants, particularly Boaz here, his response is not to say, oh, well, here's exactly what you asked for. I will give you the bare minimum that I'm obligated to provide. But God's response, working through Boaz, is to shower upon her blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. The favor she sought was this much. The favor she received was so much greater. And why is it that she is receiving so much extra blessing? What is the source of this unexpected favor? You know, Boaz actually tells us, the Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That is the key. Why does humble Ruth receive such great favor? Not because she asked Boaz. Not because she went and took advantage of the social mechanisms of her world to gain grain. But because she cast herself under the care of the Lord. She looked to him and said, I have great need of what you provide. And so the Lord, in response, didn't just give her barely exactly what she needed, but he gave her that and so much more. You know, there's several things that are instructive here to us about Ruth. I think the first one is, again, consider her humility. You know, this is a fitting time as in our culture, we set aside time to remember the birth of Christ Jesus. You know, as Ruth humbles herself and embraces a low condition, she does in very much way set the stage for her great descendant, Christ Jesus, who had no need to come embrace a low condition and yet did. Was born in a stable, was born as an utter commoner, though he was by right royalty, was born of a people who were oppressed and taken advantage of and brought low, who lived under the law that he wrote, was indeed punished under the law that he wrote and declared, yet unjustly, was spoken evil of by men, and suffered horrendously. Ruth, in her humility, is just a taste of the humility that Christ Jesus took on for your sake. And yet, and indeed, as we look at the pattern of Jesus' life, it's very clear that he takes up exactly what Ruth did. Under whose wings you've come to take refuge. Christ Jesus in his humanity was constantly leaning on the Father's protection and his will and his care. And so as you see Ruth do this, you see her laying out for us what it looks like to embrace a life in imitation of our Lord, seeking our Father's care. And it really gives us two key questions. And the first is really, have you sought refuge under the wings of the Lord? Have you humbled yourself? Have you cast off your pride? Cast off the imagination that you might somehow deserve his favor? Have you stopped demanding him to give you what is yours? And embrace the fact that what are you? You are a sinner who deserves nothing but his wrath. And yet, have you also seen that God has given you ample and overflowing provision for his grace and favor in Christ Jesus? He has made an avenue for you to seek his favor in Christ Jesus. And have you brought yourself low and humbled yourself and sought it? And then, as you walk in your life with Christ, again, God has created avenues, created means by which you might seek and enjoy his favor all the more as you grow and mature as a Christian. Are you making use of what we call the means of grace, of his worship, of his word, of prayer, of his sacraments? Or are you neglectful of these things, taking for granted the favor that God is giving you in abundance? You know, Ruth rose early to seek grain. It is fitting for us to follow her example as we seek God's favor. But I think second is, I want to come back to the idea of simplicity. Ruth's seeking the Lord's favor was not complicated. She saw her need. She saw that the Lord provides for her need, and she went out and asked for it. And in reality, that is the central idea of the gospel. We need to see that we are sinners. We need to see that God has made provision for sinners in Christ Jesus, and we need to go and ask for it. Is that not how Jesus repeatedly and over again gave all sorts of favor, to include forgiveness of sins to those who came to him? They saw that they had need. They saw the Savior, and they went and asked him for help. And first, we should preach that to ourselves. We should absorb that ourselves. It is so easy to sometimes get tied up in considering, am I sufficient? Am I good enough? Have I done enough to deserve and receive Christ's favor? Ruth did nothing that deserved Boaz's attention. She was a foreigner. He could have shooed her off and sent her on her way with no penalty whatsoever. No one would have cared. It's clear as we read in Ruth that that was probably common practice. You know, if you're a foreigner and you got no ties to our community, you don't deserve anything. We don't have to give you anything. Move along. No one's going to protect you. And yet Boaz showers much upon her that she in no way deserves. Christ's favor is not based on your deserving. It is based on his favor. And so we need to look away from ourselves and our deserving and our earnings and say, I will arise this morning and seek the favor of my Lord. And I think second, this should instruct us in how we witness to others. I think sometimes it's very easy to get tied up in very complex ways of sharing our faith or very complex defenses of Christianity. And those things have their place. But I think frequently what people need to hear from us, what our family members need to hear from us, if you're speaking to children or you're speaking to neighbors or coworkers or people you come in contact with, they don't need to know all the complexities of the gospel. What do they need to know? You are a sinner. You stand under God's judgment. And yet, if you will acknowledge that and bring yourself low and quit pretending that you are a righteous person, look, God has given you the avenue to seek his favor. He has given you the promise of grace and favor in Christ Jesus. And what do you need to do? You need to go ask. You need to go ask, and he will give it. Ruth, in this way, shows us the message that our unsaved friends need to hear. But you need to lower yourself, humble yourself, see how God has provided for you to gain favor in Christ Jesus, and go and ask. It's a beautiful and simple message. We must be careful that we never, ever lose. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the example of Ruth, in her humility, in her willingness to put aside all thought of deserving favor either from you or from man. Her willingness to embrace what she was, an undeserving foreigner. Pray that you would apply these truths to us, that you would remind us that what we are is undeserving foreigners, that we don't deserve your grace. But Lord, don't make that to discourage us, but use it to remind us and show us how you have provided great and overflowing and wonderful favor through Christ Jesus, that we might become all the more eager to get up and to ask, to seek your favor day after day after day, because you have given it and promised it. And I pray that as we enjoy the blessings of your favor, that your praises might be in our tongue, that we might become effective witnesses for you, for the favor you are pouring out, that the people around us might benefit from the favor we have found at your hand. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.